This church takes care of us. There's not a single person who should ever feel left out of that. But I was watching the guys take care of the leaves in my yard. 70 bags, by the way. 70 bags. That's just the front yard they did for us. They even have a magical mechanical bagger. They did it all by hand, mostly by Dennis. No, they gathered it all up for us, took care of it all for us. And I was thinking, okay, I need to write a thank you card for the food. I need to write a thank you card for the medicine. I need to write a thank you card for the grocery shopping. I need to go thank you card for the leaves. And I was getting ready for church, and I came upstairs, and I found that my kids wrote this. Dear Home Baptist Church. This is in Xander's handwriting, so forgive me. Thank you for coming over and handling the leaves. It was very helpful. Thankful for all the food and all the prayers. We wish we could pay you back. Thank you. Love, Melody. She had a little help with it. Xander, Caspian, Gideon, Danielle. And I put my name on it, Daddy. Well, I said pastor, but it's not the food, guys. It's not just the prayers. It's not just the medicine. It's not just the notes that you keep sending saying we're praying for you. It's what you're showing my kids. I don't deserve this church, but I appreciate you guys so very much. Amen. So very much. I sat there, I'm like, how do I show them how big of a deal this is? And my kids did supply, much like every other sermon illustration I use. if you will, turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Be in prayer for Sister Sherry and Amanda. They are out traveling. I got a message this morning saying that they have arrived safely to the first stop. So be in prayer for them. This is, we all know what anniversary we're coming up on. And it was rough going through it once. It'll be rough going through it twice. Those of you that have gone through mourning, you know exactly what she's going through right now. So be in prayer for her. Be in prayer for all those who are sick and ill. Be in prayer for all those who are out in the car. I just, again, pray that we get through this quick and everybody can stay comfortable. But folks, I'll tell you this. I try not to get too political, but I'm about to the next couple weeks. excuse me. But this is the way it should have been, guys. This is the way it should have been dealing with COVID. The church decides what we were going to do. Right? We've got tools. We've got resources. You want to be outside? Be outside. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. You want to be inside? Be inside. This is the way it ought to have been. Government should have kept its filthy hands off of our decision-making process. there was that article that came out, I think it was this week it came out. Time kind of blurs together. It was like, it's time for us to forgive each other for the decisions we made during COVID. I said, that's a wonderful idea. Forgiveness is a very biblical idea. We are commanded towards forgiveness. But also, while we're here forgiving, let's admit that there were some things that needed forgiving. And let's hold the people responsible for that. It's one thing for me to forgive my neighbor. It's another thing for me to forgive a government official and let that person hold on to their office. Right, you've developed or you've shown or revealed a faulty decision-making process. Now let us make you, let's relieve you of that decision-making process. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a gift to be here tonight. Lord, you know how I feel about that. That is something each and every last one of us needs to feel whenever we walk through those doors, that there may come a time when we are physically unable to. So, Lord, I just pray that you keep us grateful for tonight, for being able to be among the presence of you and your people. Lord, be with us now as we dive into this word. Help me not to be a distraction, Lord, more than ever. I feel like I could. But, Lord, I just pray that you help us dive into these and see the wonderful parallels and the wonderful lessons that there are to be learned from this passage of Scripture. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, where they had left from to coming to the city of Nain was about 20-plus miles. So that's about roughly a day's journey. So that makes sense in the timeline that they're putting there. But what the reason why I want to bring that up is 20 miles is a long way to walk in a day. It really is. Some could do it in a few hours. Some could take a full afternoon to do it. Some a whole day. They had a bit of a procession coming with them. So this would have been a bit of a march. But I want you to think about the people that were there and the people that were with them. They were walking with the Savior. They had heard his communication. They had heard the things that he had to say. And they were in awe. I mean, imagine you're taking a 20-mile walk with the Lord. Your legs wouldn't even hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be so excited. I wouldn't be thinking about food. I wouldn't be thinking about the rocks in my shoes. I would just be excited to be there. And there again, you just kind of feel this palpability to at least, I could try to imagine it to be so. If I was walking with the Lord and I had just seen him teach and work wonders over here, and I'm walking over with him and we're about to go to a new city, I'm excited. Remember when you were a kid and you take a long car ride and you know you're getting off at the exit of where you're going? You start to get your shoes back on, you put your book away, you get all excited, all right, we're going to get out of this car. They're excited. So there's that excitement as we're coming up to where we're stopping. There's this excitement of being with the Savior. And on the way out is a funeral procession. And again, of course, you have to understand there's a juxtaposition there, isn't there? There's a big difference. There is the sorrow of these people, and not just a regular sorrow. I mean, listen, we all know to lose people that are close to us is a painful thing. To then lose somebody else close to us only furthers the wound. And this poor woman, she had already lost her husband. Now she had lost her son. And for a widow, that's kind of double damage. Because that son, it was his responsibility to take care of mom. And we see here some clues about him. The Bible says that he was a young man, that he was a man. Which means in the Jewish community, or at least in this age range here, probably over 13. But we also see that he's referred to as young, so possibly under 18. So somewhere in that range where Sonny Boy would have taken care of mom. He would have gone out and either worked in dad's fields or worked in somebody else's field to get money, handled the family business, and now that was gone from her. So it wasn't just close family, it was her livelihood. And everybody around her knew it. And that adds, I mean, again, it just adds something to the misery. And there they are, they're walking out. And then there's this awkward kind of coming together where those that rejoice meet with those who are sorrowful. Those who know the power of Christ, those who know what God can do, and those that are in the midst of the human condition. It's important that while we study the Bible, we never forget the heart of Christ. He was God and man at the same time. He loves us the way only one who created us could love us, and he had insight into us as only one of us could have. Only God could love in a pure, unconditional way. As this account reveals to us in his dealings, God seldom ever does just one thing. Now, we could look at this from multiple points of view. We could look at this from the perspective of the mom. We could look at this from the perspective of those that followed either the mom or God or Christ. We could look at it from Christ's point of view, right? We could do that. But I believe when we look at both things together, we really see the complexity of what God is doing in this situation. You see, this wasn't just a cheap parlor trick that Christ was going to do to gather fame to himself. Yes, that was part of it. It was about time that more people knew who he was. This was a part of God's plan that he would heal the young man, bring him back to life, set him back out there, right, and let the rumors spread. That was part of his plan, but that wasn't the main plan. Because you got to remember who's meeting here on this road. First of all, I want to point out this, that what we see here is a meeting of two only sons. Of two only sons. Now on the widow's side, that was her only son. More than just her support, more than just the guy who'd go milk the cow, more than just the guy who ran out the garbage, more than just the paycheck coming in. Right? More than just being a member of her family, right? Because there was one pain on top of another. But this was her boy. This is her boy. And she's hurting. And she's suffering. And you've got to believe that Jesus Christ knew where he was going to be and when he was going to be there. And part of the reason to be there was to heal this poor mother's heart. Was to help her. And not just help her, but return to her the family, return to her the support. Why? Because that's who Christ is. Christ loves us. He cares for us. He's willing to look after us. He's willing to go that extra mile for us. He's willing to go on the cross for us. And he's willing to dole out his mercies every day. When you sin and you go to the Father and you say, Father, please forgive me of my sin. It's Jesus Christ, as we see in Scripture, that sits on the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for us. You know what that probably looks like? It's me on my knees. Father, please forgive me for this. And Jesus Christ going, yes, that is one of mine. That is my blood that covers him. Forgive him. That's the love he has for us. We understand that all things that were done in the Bible and all things that are done in our lives are for the honor and for the glory of the Lord, but never forget that in the midst of all those things, he loves you. And he's doing that for you. Right? He sees your pain. He sees what you're going through. And he is doing it for you as his people, as his called and his chosen. He's doing it just as much out of love for you as he is to obedience of his Father, as to obedience to his will. It is not a simple one, this or that kind of a thing. It is all of the things together, right? Did he do this? Did he heal this woman's son? Because he wanted his fame to be spread about? Absolutely. Did he heal this woman's son? Because he wanted to heal her heart, to take care of her, to give her a blessing. Yes. No, it's got to be one or the other. My God don't work that way. My God plays the long game and the short game. He is the master of all things. See, I have plans. My plans go number one, number two, number three, number four. God's plans are like a clock. Every wheel turning at the precise amounts. Everything having its job to work all things together for good. On the other side, we see the only begotten of God. He's more than just a positive thought and prayer. How many times do we see that in natural disasters or horrible things that have taken place? I see they recently convicted that guy who drove his car through a Christmas parade a couple years ago. Finally found him guilty. And, you know, we think about that. You know, all positive thoughts and prayers are headed your way. God's deeper than that. I almost kind of want to change the way that I speak concerning this, because I feel as though I'm putting God into some kind of ecumenical fashion. When I tell people that I'm praying for them, I want to say, hey, listen, when I speak to the Lord later today, I'm going to bring you up. When the Lord and I are discussing our business, I want to let you know that I'm going to bring your situation up to him. And I'm going to ask him to show some way for me to help you. And if it's just for me to continue to pray, if it's for me to come over and do whatever it is that needs to be done, I'm willing to do that. God is more than just a positive thought and prayer. He is the one in whom we are praying to. Christ wasn't the one who would say, hey, listen, I'll talk to the Father and hope that you have the answer. Christ was the answer. Because I'm not just going to wish you well. I'm going to do well by you. I'm going to do well for you. He was more than just a word of comfort. He was the comforter. Gave that woman the best comfort you possibly could have. Now, of course, we sit there and it's important for us. And there's a lot of preachers and a lot of commentaries that avoid preaching this just the way it sits because they're afraid of this. Well, if God comforted this woman this way, how cruel it is of him not to bring back from the dead all of those whom I am missing and I am sorrowful for. I want to remind you that this boy would die again. I'm fairly confident that the rapture did not take place before he expired the second time. It is appointed unto man once to die. And barring the rapture, folks, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. So what we need is to understand that we are on a cursed earth and that stuff is going to happen. And while it grieves the heart and it busts us up, I feel so callous when I say that. I want you to understand that I feel callous when I say that because I've got hurts and sufferings and people that I've lost that I wish that I had a ton of words for and I never got the opportunity to share them. People that were close to me, people that could have been closer to me, all the gamut of hurt that you could have fits into this qualification here. So I'm not cheaply throwing this out here, but it's important for us to realize that the natural course of things will take place. And sometimes it is more of a comfort and it is more of a blessing. It's more righteous for God to allow someone to stay up in glory than it is for him to have to come back. But all in the same, Jesus Christ was the answer for this woman's need. I have felt pain in my life, and I have felt the arms of the Father wrap around me. I have felt God's love as I read His Word. I have felt the presence of the Father as I have read kind words and notes from other people that have wished me well and said they were praying for me. I have felt the Lord in the room when other people would pray with me there. God is our answer for these things. There is peace and there is calm in His presence. On this road, two only sons met. But it was Jesus Christ in verse 13 that was able to say, "Weep not. Weep not." We also see on this road two sufferers. The mother herself, we understand her suffering. He met her. What he did is he met her in her time of need. It is one of those wonderful coincidences of God that he showed up at just the right time to catch the funeral procession. If he stopped a little bit more and waited a little bit longer, if he slept a little bit later, he would have missed this procession. If he had taken his time, but gone faster, if he moved quicker, if he took less breaks, he would have missed it. He would have been early and he would have missed it entirely. You see, God is the master of his plans. And while we are sitting there going, well, Lord, why didn't you meet me in the house where he died? Lord, why didn't you meet me before we left? You let us walk all the way out here. Lord, why did you let me get this far into this situation before you did anything to get me out? You've got to remember, he meets you in your need. Whatever it was that needed to be accomplished from the doorstep to where he met her needed to be accomplished in her life. And there are many things that cause you to grow, many things that shape you, that take place in times of great adversity. We're looking at that in Sunday school. Why these things come, and so often it's to sharpen us, right? And there's going to be things that happen anyway, right? Even if God's not dealing with you, bad things are going to happen because that's the nature of this world, Right? I mean, you look at the animals that crawl across the world. There is no heaven for them. There is no character, no flaw. They still get eaten by things. What God can do is take those things that would happen to us anyway and sharpen us with them. Bolden us with them. Strengthen us with them. And not just that, but make us a help to those that come after, because just as sure as you're going through something, somebody else is going to go through that as well. So never question God's timing when you're dealing with what you're dealing with, because there's a purpose for it. There's a plan for it. She may have been asking herself, what am I going to do? How am I going to live now? And not just in an emotional epitaph. How? I mean, could you imagine anybody out here right now, some of you women, going out and getting a job right now and taking over and running everything that you've got? No, that'd be very difficult for most people at any age to run out and try to outdo the bills that have now come in after a death. Doesn't matter who you are, you'd have a hard time pulling that off. So what was Christ's answer? Well, I got an idea. Let's bring him back. See, she couldn't have fathomed that question, that answer. She couldn't have thought about that. Why? Because in her mind, you live, you die, that's it. They die in Jewish tradition. I've got 24 hours to put them in the ground now. That's it. I got to hire this, pay for that, do all these things. Now I've got to figure out how to run the family business or keep the things going or get a job to get income in. And in her mind, there was a set number of answers that you could have to that question. God does not have a set number of answers. He comes in and he does what he wants. And that's what Christ did. He goes, I'm going to answer your problem. I'm going to bring him back. It doesn't matter. Like, and God's creative. In whatever situation you are in and whatever you are struggling with, the miracle that it could produce for you could possibly be something you would have never been able to imagine in your own mind. That's what God can do. That's the power that he has. Not just of creativity and the ability to do things, but the desire and the drive and the perfection that goes along with him. He didn't just meet her in her needs, but he met her in her grief. She was sorrowful. There's many of people that say, well, now what am I going to do? They lose their spouse. You know, I knew a man like that. He lost his wife, and he was sorrowful. They're at retirement age, and what do I do now? And what he found himself doing is he found himself, he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buddy-buddy up with my pastor. I'm going to say, Pastor, what can I do? Pastor, what? And then they went out and they would go and they would knock on doors. And they would get together in the church and they would pray. Whenever there was something for people his age range to do and get together, he showed up. And he was there for it. He poured himself into others. And guess what? Did the pain magically disappear? Mm-mm. Did he feel peace in spite of it? Yeah. Did the comfort that he would have normally asked for magnify? Yes, he felt great comfort. Great comfort can be found among God's people and in his service. He poured his life into serving the Lord. And yes, he missed his spouse. And yes, things were still difficult. However, there was peace and joy and comfort he would have never found shut up in his house in the dark. There was love that he experienced that he never would have found watching Price is Right for the fifth time today. God can do that. We find, in doing his will, we find far more than we could ever possibly imagine, especially when it comes down to our grief and pain. We must pour ourselves into the Lord and into his work, and we will find all those people reaching back and hug on them. Folks, I've experienced that this week. I've sat there and I'm like, how am I? Now, I know this is vain. I know I'm vain in this. My wife will tell me I'm vain. I am a very vain person in one area. It's not about how I look. You know, I gave up on that a long time ago. I'm vain about that front yard. I'm vain. I don't want the neighbors to see the leaves. I didn't say a word. Somebody comes up. We're going to come back and take care of those leaves. No, you're not. You leave those right there. I took care of it. Did that have to be done? No. Do you have to bother yourselves? No. There I am. Oh, man. You know, what is the church going to think? I'm not there on Sunday. I might not be able to make it on Wednesday. What is that church going to think about me and my family? My wife's got to play the piano. Here we are. We're going to be without a piano player for another service. Kicking myself. Sorrowful over it. You know, why'd I have to get sick now? I talked to Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie asked, he goes, where did you get that? I go, I don't know. Sunday, I thought I was just sick from, or sorry, Wednesday, I just thought I was sick from raking leaves. You're right? And then I'd take the COVID test, positive. Oh, no. And I prayed. I go, Lord, normally I don't know how to, Lord, my body doesn't normally know how to handle this. I pray it's not as bad. He said, no, you're going to have to handle it. You know, oh man, we got to go out. We didn't even grocery shop for COVID. We didn't. We weren't ready. And there was food on our doorstep. I didn't have the strength to cook. My wife didn't have the strength to cook. And guess what? There was food right there. You see, I know it's you doing it, but I know why you're doing it. When we do that for each other, I know why we do it for each other. Because we love each other, and that's something we can do. But we love the Lord. And the Lord saved you so you could be there for each other. And don't you understand? That's one of the many ways the pain gets shared. Well, how am I going to get to here? How am I going to do that? How am I going to be able to make it for that and this and that? And all of a sudden, there's somebody pouring their life into the Lord that runs into your path and goes, oh, no, I got you. I got you. Oh, and let's not forget the times when we're reading the Bible and we know God is there and that verse is exactly what we're struggling with. And it's exactly what's hurting us. You better believe Christ can meet you where you are in your grief and in your pain and in your suffering and struggling. On one hand, we had this mother who was met in her grief. On the other hand, we had the other suffer, the man of sorrows himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered too. Did you know that? He left all of heaven to come down here and walk through our winters and summers. He left the angels shouting, holy, holy, holy. He left the presence of his Father, left his throne, left all of it up there to come down here and be born in a pig trough. To endure the teasings and the tauntings, to have his family when he was an infant, have him, or as a toddler, run away into Egypt and then be whisked back and be mocked and reviled by his people and be rejected by his people. Preach messages that his closest followers, his disciples, acted like they never even heard. Right? They kept being surprised when he would do the stuff that only the Son of God could do. They'd ask him for signs, despite how many miracles he showed. And after all that, the mocking and the teasing and the people that claim to love him, not listening to him, always being questioned by the most ignorant group of religious people that you could ever find. He went to the cross anyway and suffered more than anyone could suffer. Well, brother, a lot of people got crucified. Very few people, maybe just one, has ever been crucified with the sins of the world on his back. There's only one person in recorded history in whom God had to turn his eyes away from, and it weren't you and me. You and I have never felt that. As his elect, God has had his eyes on you since you were in the womb. God has known you and watched you and cared for your way. But for a brief moment of time, God had to turn his eyes on his own son for us. Oh, he knew suffering. And he had to come back. After he died, he had to come back. He had to walk through, not be recognized, chasing those that had gone off, quiet the doubts of Thomas, give one more admonition as he rode up into the sky. When the Lord refers to himself, or the Bible refers to him as the man of sorrows, you better believe he was the man of sorrows. Thankfully, and one of my most favorite parts of this is there are two people who also met on this road, two very distinct enemies. See again this beautiful procession of Christ, his followers high off of his presence, rejoicing and singing hymns, having a good old time. See also the funeral procession, the sorrow, the grief, and the uncertainty of future. With a single act of regeneration, defeating death, Christ took the two diametrically opposed groups and made them one. No longer one of sorrow and one of mirth, but both of great rejoicing. That is what he's done for us. See, we began to die in the Garden of Eden, and it's been one long funeral procession ever since. Death after death, loss after loss. There would be nothing for us other than to eat, drink, and be merry, knowing that oblivion awaits around any corner for us. But because of salvation, we no longer have to fear death. We can know what is on the other side, and more importantly, what is on the other side for us. I'm not a big fan of violent sports, of boxing or the mixed martial arts. Every now and then I'll catch a highlight and I'll just go, oh, welcome back to Rome. I saw a guy one time, he just jumped across the I guess it's a ring, and midair just walloped a guy across the face. I said, wow, that's something else. But the boxing match that took place between death and the Lord Jesus Christ in his life is nothing short of a pay-per-view special. Now you see, what we see in his life is it starts off with a couple jabs, and this is one of them right here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise this widow's son, and there's nothing death can do about it. Now, I don't buy into the Hollywood or the old mystic idea of death being a person or a being that travels about. We know that there is an angel of death, but that is in no way the Grim Reaper or the boogeyman as we see him in today's modern art. But the concept of death itself is something that's often given human or being type qualities in Scripture. And I'll tell you what, these first few sucker punches dealt a heavy blow on what we know to be death. Because in many ways, that's how we experience it. They died. Okay, well, how long ago? Hours ago. It's final. There is no maybe on that. Well, with one exception I've ever seen, I spent some time with my aunt. My aunt would have these neighbors that would watch us, and they had a bunch of kids. And it was a good time, you know, hanging out with all these kids. But one morning we found out that their cat had died, been hit by a car. And we're there and they're very somber, they're very sad. And my brother and I, we don't know what to do, so we just kind of, you know. And we go out back with them and they bury the cat and they sing hymns around the cat's body. I hate cats. And they share memories about the cat. And we all go back inside, and some of us kids were outside playing. And all of a sudden, one of the people's kids, they come running up the street with an identical cat in their arms. we buried somebody else's cat. That's the only time I've ever seen death not permanent. But for the most part, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. When it's done forever. However, the Lord showed up and he started doing things that people had never seen before. Nobody had ever seen this. We know he's dead. There was rites and rituals and things that we had to do to the young man. It is over for him. He's on the bier. We're taking him out and it's over. And the Lord says, meh, no, it's not. We need to be very careful about what in our lives we call over. No, too much time has gone by. No, it's impossible. They've gone too far. They've gone off. There is no far country the Lord cannot reach. There is no illness the Lord cannot heal. There is no problem that God cannot give the solution to. And even if the answer is no, God is not a God who leaves us without hope, without comfort, and without peace. Well, how can I have peace in the midst of all this? You turn to him and you'll find out. I can't put it into words. I've only ever experienced it that when I lean on him, I know I'm not going to fall. Christ conquers all things. And death is just one of them. Because of sin, death entered into this world. With all of its pain and with all of its sorrow. And God's creation became consumed by it. I point out again the predicament that God is in, even though it's kind of a joke to say that God would ever be in a predicament because there's nothing that would ever cause him to stumble. But from our point of view, it would be a bit of a predicament. You create something. You give it one rule. It commits that sin. All of a sudden, a bunch of sin enters in. It's completely corrupted. And you're faced with a decision to either scrap it outright or put your blood, sweat, and tears into trying to redeem it. Now, which one did God do? He put his blood, sweat, and tears into redeeming it. Knowing full well he wouldn't be able to save all of it. Knowing full well that it wouldn't all be saved. Knowing full well that his precision cuts would be just that precision. However, he did it anyway. Death had entered into the world. All of his creation was consumed by it. But Christ himself, he conquered it. First, with a few saved lives here and there. The widow's son, a servant, a daughter. We see that in himself, he also threw a powerful haymaker at the end of his life when he brought himself back from the grave. We can't do that. But he can. And we understand why he did. So that we ourselves could be completely forgiven of our sins. You see, that was the condition. We sinned. Death could come in and claim us. Again, not a person making choices, but death would be the natural order of life because of our sin. But Christ, he died perfect. He broke death. Now death is different for a vast number of people. When we close our eyes for the last time, no matter how it is that we go, we wake up in the presence of our Father. Amen. Redeemed, purified, no longer with our pains, no longer with our sin natures, no longer with anything to worry about. Think about the stuff you worry about right now. Those things will be so far from you, it's a joke. Think of all the little things you've got to do. Anybody here, you got a list of projects you got to do at the home? Guess what? I like, what was that, George Yance sang that song. Ain't going to need this house no longer, ain't going to need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the windows, ain't got time to fix the floor. And he talks about when the Lord comes against me, this house is on its own, you know. Hey, those grocery bills, they're on their own. The gas bills, the excuse me, that the country and all of its political problems, they're on their own. You can't touch me where I'm going. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You could, after I go, they could put whoever they want on the throne and in the White House. I probably won't even notice. Death is a different thing for you and I. There are many an atheist. There's many an agnostic. Many a Christian-related but not Christian religion out there, filled with people in the pews that are doing their best to earn heaven. God has revealed to us that we never could. But it was purchased for us. That it was prepared for us. As the Lord says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. Death had nothing to say when the Lord came back. There was nothing death could do. And now we sit here today. Death is like that bully at school where the small kid punched him in the face and he lost a couple teeth and now no one's afraid of him anymore. Sure, there are some. But those that love Christ, we're not afraid of it anymore. At least we shouldn't be. Sure, there are things, you know, people say, well, would you, if you had the opportunity to go to heaven right now, would you? I go, I'd pause. And I think that's okay because I've got four little ones at home need a dad. Lord gave me responsibilities. It'd be a little chicken of me to want to just go on to a reward before I've earned it, you know. Not that I could earn heaven, but I don't want to have a break until I've worked good and hard. You know what I mean? I want to get nice and sweaty before I go into the house for lemonade, you know. I'd love to, you know, if the Lord came back tonight, how happy I would be. But you see, for us, it's as the word says, where's your sting? What's the sting of death? That we would know what happens after. That's solved. What's the sting of death? That we would be afraid. Heaven or hell? Where am I going to go? That's answered. Oh, it's a time to say goodbye, but for many of us, it's going to be a time to say goodbye for now. Time to say goodbye for now. I'll see you later. And that's what it is for us. It's not goodbye. It's so long. I'll see you soon. I like the illustration that I gave there. If I could pat myself on the back for a second. Of death now being that bully with a couple missing teeth. You see, now that we know that death has a glass jaw, we can live differently. We see on this road here, two only sons that met together. We see two sufferers meeting together. We see two enemies meeting together. But I'd like to call your attention over to verse 16 again. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. None of that matters without the Lord. None of that is possible without the Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, you better get good and close with the Lord, because with the death ever comes back, you're going to want to be close to him, because it's hard to stand alone. It's one thing to know it. It's one thing to eat, breathe, and live it. Right? I could tell you how to lose a massive amount of weight. I could tell you everything you need to know about running marathons. I could tell you a whole bunch of stuff. But could you easily tell how little I've put that lifestyle into practice? I do, sister. I've got books and books on how to read, how to run marathons, what your brain should be doing, what your feet should be doing. I've got charts that will show you how to get from here to there. But you know what my problem is? I don't spend a lot of time going from here to there. We are a group of people sat here together with great biblical knowledge. Between here and the parking lot, we could teach classes, we could write books. We know the Bible. But some of us aren't on the road, perhaps. Some of us don't take the journey. We don't do the practice. We're not close to him the way that we should. So when death comes to ring our bell, we're far from the schoolyard hero. We are far
from the great conqueror of death. My friends, we need to be as close to him as possible. We need to fear his presence. We need to realize that we need the Son of God in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for helping me to do this. Lord, I thank you for the indulgence and the patience of your people here tonight. Lord, I pray that you protect us from feeling ill. I pray, Lord, that you put your healing hand on every hurt knee and thigh and shoulder. Lord, every cancer, Lord, every surgery that still needs to heal. Lord, every heart that is broken, Lord, every traveler out there on the road, the Lord, you watch over your people. Lord, we love you. And as always, I ask that you help us to live our lives with that truth in our minds. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.